The next thing I want to talk about is partial pressure. And if you've already taken chemistry, you may remember this. What partial pressure refers to when we're talking about gases is the percentage of the total percentage that a gas makes up in a mixture. So, for example, when you think about air that surrounds us, it's made up of a whole bunch of different gases. There's oxygen, there's CO2, there's nitrogen gas, there's water vapor. There's all these different gases that are surrounding us. And oxygen makes up about 20% of that mixture. And so we would say that the partial pressure of oxygen in the atmosphere would be 20%, for example. Nitrogen actually makes up the majority of the gas that surrounds us. And interestingly enough, we don't really use it we don't need it for breathing or anything like that. So our bodies pretty much just ignore it. When we talk about partial pressures, keep in mind that partial pressures or the percentage of oxygen or the percentage of CO2 is going to be different in different parts of the body. So, for example, the average partial pressure, or PO2, in the alveoli is going to be very, very high. So there's going to be, well, not any higher than it would be in the normal atmosphere, but it's relatively high. This is where you're going to have the most oxygen available. And the partial pressure of oxygen in the blood, the arterial blood, and in this case, this would be the capillaries that are just leaving the lungs, just leaving the heart, is also going to be pretty high. So those are going to have a high partial pressure of oxygen. They have a higher percentage of oxygen compared to blood, for example, that has already been depleted of oxygen and is traveling back towards the heart and back towards the lungs. The partial pressure of oxygen in the interstitial fluids, if you think about it, it's going to be fairly low because the tissues are constantly in need of oxygen, and they're going to be using up whatever oxygen is available and using that to power their cellular metabolism. So the pressure of oxygen is going to tend to be pretty low in the interstitial fluids. And the pressure of oxygen also in the venous blood or the veins is going to be fairly low because, remember, the veins are bringing back blood that has been fairly depleted of oxygen. Now, the opposite is going to be true for carbon dioxide. The average carbon dioxide in the alveoli is going to be lower, actually, than the carbon dioxide in the arterial blood and the capillaries and so on. And the partial pressure of CO2 in the interstitial fluid, however, if you think about it, CO2 is a waste product of metabolism, and so it's going to be fairly high. It's almost like the cells have set out the garbage and the garbage hasn't been picked up yet. The CO2 is sort of like the garbage. It's a waste product of their metabolism. And CO2 in the venous blood is also going to be pretty low. So with these things in mind, keeping in mind that gases are going to move from high partial pressure to low partial pressures, which way is oxygen going to go? Well, if you think about the capillaries that are surrounding the alveoli, which would be the pulmonary capillaries, oxygen is going to naturally move from the alveoli, where its partial pressure is very high, into the capillaries, where its partial pressure is very low. Now, so right around in the lungs, when the capillaries are surrounding those alveoli, oxygen is going to go very easily by diffusion from the alveoli into the capillaries. However, when we talk about the systemic capillaries, or the capillaries that are out in the rest of the body, for example, the tips of your toes or surrounding cells in your liver or muscles that you may be using as you work out aerobically or anaerobically, keep in mind that in those areas, the blood is going to be carrying more oxygen than is present in the interstitial tissues. So oxygen is going to tend to go from the capillaries into the tissues. And so it's going to go in the opposite direction than it did in the lungs. And that's because there's lower oxygen available in those tissues. There's lower partial pressure of oxygen in the tissues than there is in the capillaries. So the oxygen will move out of the capillaries and into those tissues. And that's a good thing because those tissues need the oxygen. Now, the thing to keep in mind here is that carbon dioxide is going to be moving in the opposite direction of oxygen. So in those tissues where carbon dioxide has built up in the interstitial fluids, its concentration, its partial pressure is going to be higher than the partial pressure of CO2 in the capillaries blood. And so that CO2 is going to move from the interstitial fluids around the tissues in the systemic areas into the capillaries. And that's good because it'll be removed from the areas and brought back to the lungs to be exhaled. In the lungs, for example, the blood traveling through the capillaries around the alveoli is going to have much higher CO2 partial pressure than is present in the air in the alveoli. And so that CO2 will leave the blood at the lungs and go into the alveoli where it can then be exhaled. Now, I want to point out another word that's very important, and that's hypoxia. And what hypoxia refers to is low oxygen pressure in the tissues. And the problem, of course, with hypoxia is that it can lead to death of tissues if there's not enough oxygen present for those tissues to maintain their metabolic functions.